Welcome to WEC Podcast Episode 5. I'm Katie.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Kevin.
And today is a roundtable, and I'm going to start us off, and I wanted to talk about a series of books that I'm very, very excited about. The fourth in the series comes out this month. It was my first foray into steampunk, and it was the best possible choice I could have made to introduce myself into steampunk, because I'm not, as we talked about before, I don't really read books in the paranormal variety. And this isn't that. This is supernatural. And the best review I read in terms of describing this, in terms of what it was like, basically it says it's kind of like James Bond and X-Files and in Victorian England. And if that doesn't scream happiness to you, I don't know what is.
But James Bond and X-Files.
I know. And it's two characters. One is a female badass. Her name is Eliza Braun, Miss Braun, she goes by. And then the other guy, he's an archivist or a librarian, Mr. Books. And they are not partners at the beginning of the first book, but they are kind of forced together. And then throughout the series of books, it's written by a husband and wife, Pip Ballantyne and T. Morris. Pip is from New Zealand. She's the and she writes fantasy books on her own. So you can find her on the shelves. And T. Morris, I think, I don't know what he's written before. I'm sure he has written something before, but this was their first time writing together. And I didn't know they were husband and wife at first, and I was hoping. Because I was like, that would make it perfect. But when I read it the first time, I was in the airport, and I was having so much fun. And so I tweeted, such a great book. I took a picture of the book, and I found Books and Brawn, because it was a Twitter handle. And I said, you guys have to read this book. And T. Morris got so excited. And he sent me back a text or a tweet or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, so, that was so sweet. I mean, how, anyways, so from then on, I was like, I'm your biggest fan, because I had never read steampunk before. It was a very well done book. And each book, and here's a review of it that I think, it's about their chemistry. It says, their chemistry, it positively leaps from the page. They are equal parts Mulder and Scully, Steed and Peel, and Stargate One, SG-1's Daniel and Sam, with more than a little Jane and Lisbon from The Mentalist thrown in. And that's from Geek Speak. But it's very exciting. So the first book was called Phoenix Rising, and then the next one was Dawn's Early Light, and then, oh sorry, no, the third one is Dawn's Early Light. The first one was Phoenix Rising, and then you have The Janus Affair. And then Dawn's Early Light is the one I'm reading right now. And the one that comes out this month is The Diamond Conspiracy. But it's the same two characters.
Okay, so steampunk is typically, like, takes place in our world, but in some alternative version of our world. So where does this take place?
Most steampunk will take place in Victorian England. And there's two different kinds of steampunk that I know of. Obviously, whoever's listening to this will be like, oh, there's a million times. But the kind that this book is does not have vampires and werewolves in it. There's another book that we can talk about on another podcast that it does a really good job at steampunk and introduces vampires and werewolves, and it's fantastic. This one doesn't have that. It has fun things like Tesla. So instead of, you know, because it's really like a alternate reality, in a sense, where you have a if we had gone in a different direction, what would have happened? So take technology, morph it a bit, throw it into 1820s Victorian England, and give everybody bizarre, like, energy weapons. And
like, imagine if they in Victoria, England, they had computers, but they all looked golden and they were, you know, mechanical.
Yeah, lots of gears and levers and that kind of stuff.
And airships. Okay. That's my favorite part is the airships.
So like Zeppelin type things,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. In fact, I'm in a writer's group, a children's writer's group, and one of the writers is writing a book, and it's not steampunk, but he has airships in it, and I'm just reading it as fast as I can, because I'm like, airships are my favorite. But yeah, so I highly recommend it. Again, it's by Pip Ballantyne and T. Morris.
And for steampunk, there are like people who dress up like that?
fabulous clothes. Like, all the corsets and the everything. It's so cool. It really is.
Yeah, and I didn't understand any of that before I started reading this book. I really thought they were kind of freakish.
It's because you haven't been to Comic-Con. They're everywhere.
I was very naive when it came to this.
I didn't know what cosplay meant until just, like, maybe a week ago. I was like, cosplay? What is that? But I have a friend who's posting all the time with all the beautiful costumes that she does. She does a lot of what you're describing now as steampunk, so I get it now. And it's just beautiful what they come up with.
Yeah,
cosplay actually is not a very old term, because I know when I was growing up, there was no such word. So it can't be more than 20 years old.
If that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that got me was LARPing. It took me. I didn't know what that was.
LARP. I love that.
What's LARPing?
Live action roleplay.
Okay, now I know that one.
It's like D&D where you're actually running around. And
it's like the Renaissance Fair. Remember we did the Renaissance Fair?
I did that once, yes.
Or have you seen the movie Role Models?
No.
Oh. Which I watched today. So, yeah, they have a whole section on it, like one of the kids is really into, like, they don't call it LARPing though, but he belongs to Lair, which stands for something, and yeah, that's what it is. It's they dress up and go act out Dungeons and Dragons, basically.
Nice. There's a role playing game, a Star Wars role playing game that's really popular right now, because people are buying all the pieces at my work, and I'll ask them, so is this for that game? And like,
an actual role-playing game or like a miniatures game?
It's the miniatures game, but I thought that's part of role-playing game, is it not?
I know of a popular series of miniatures Star Wars games, but they're not role-playing games that I know of.
Okay, so, well, maybe I'm wrong.
But
we can just delete this
one. We're not deleting it. It's staying in.
There's no such thing as edits.
That's right. No. Who edits?
Mouth noise.
All right.
What is the? You might have said it before, but what is the actual name of the series again?
I don't think she did.
Let me read, you know, the best part.
Let me read the name, because I have the book in my hand. It's called A Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences novel.
Yeah, and you can go to their website, Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. Basically, it's a whole, like, spy organization that handles peculiar cases that the main police won't handle. So if it's odd, it comes to these guys. But you can go to the website, and it's amazing. So much fun. They have videos and stuff about the characters, and they, I don't know if they took pictures of their friends dressed up as steampunk, and they get to play that I'm this character. Really good.
I'm just looking at the back of this book, and Fangoria. Do you guys know what Fangoria is?
Yep.
It's a horror magazine. They mention praise for Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences series, a dark and twisted roller coaster of a read for those fond of elegant vernacular and bizarre weaponry.
You're going to totally read this book now, aren't you?
You would love it.
I'm sold.
It's very
good. I like steampunk.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Good.
Well, I'm going to talk about a book, so I think I should go last. We can open and close with the
books.
That's
a good idea.
So, Kelly?
I will go next. So, this week, I love Batman. And my introduction to Batman and what Batman was to me was growing up was the 66 Batman. So,
my favorite.
But I never read the comic books until Keaton became Batman, and then I saw that there was a whole dark world, and I'm dark, and that was great. But once I got in, so I'm in college, I'm reading Batman books. I have Batman in my dorm room type situation in college, so I was real popular. Like, oh my God, I was such a dork. But I stopped after college, no time to read, so I stopped reading. I just recently started to read comic books again, and the reason is they have a series now, which is Batman 66.
Right.
And
yes.
The only reason I started reading it is because there was a mini-series written by Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, who I absolutely adore, both of them.
Hollywood Babylon,
whole Smodco network, and it is The Green Hornet and Batman and Robin. And what's great about it is when they started this whole series up, they finally got approval to use the actual characterization. So Batman in this comic book, looks like Adam West.
Oh, wow.
Robin looks like Burt Ward. It has the Joker in it, and it's Cesar Romero, the whole thing. All of the characters look like that. Excuse me.
The 66 is referring to the year that the right. television series right. came out.
And so no one thinks I'm really old. I didn't see it first run, by the way, the TV show. I want to make that clear? I saw reruns.
We all saw reruns.
I saw reruns.
It just released all 128.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were that many.
Yeah, well, it's because they did, when they originally aired, it was two shows a week, because they'd had the two, it was always a two-parter.
I heard Adam West talking about that on the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah.
It was just really neat to hear him talk about how that was done.
Well, and I love that TV series, because I have such good memories of my sister and I watching it, and watching the opening, and wanting so badly for Batgirl to swoop across the front so that we knew it was a Batgirl episode, because, you know, we wanted to be Batgirl. But and the fun fact about this comic book miniseries that I just looked at was they couldn't get the rights to draw. So when Green Hornet was on the TV show, the bad guy that they fought was Colonel Gum. I think his name is Colonel Gum. They couldn't get the rights to draw that actor's face. So to overcome that, because they wanted to use that same villain, he just made it so he has like this white globs of stuff on his face, and they explain it, and then he gave himself a field promotion, so he's General Gum. And so it's really, the way they handle it is so, it's just that cheesetastic thing about the same, about the like the TV show. It's well written, it's well done, and I absolutely, if you like the TV show, I recommend it highly.
So it's Serial, right?
There's six, in the one that Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith wrote, there's six episodes of, I mean, six comic books that make up the series. Other ones are being done. I actually haven't read those. I really focused on this because I love those two so much. But now I'm starting to get other, like the real Batman comic books, which are actually stacking up. I have to read them. But I have them, dang it.
So it's Batman 66? Is that what
it's called? Batman 66, yeah. And it's all those like goofy 60s colors and everything.
I can still hear the music.
So it doesn't sound dark.
No, it's light and fluffy. So there is nothing dark about it. No, it's
so dark was college.
Dark was
light
college.
And fluffy is post college.
No, just for this one, let's not. Okay, so
it's like you're crazy now.
Okay, so this is how I was in college. I have a college room. I had my roommate who was actually scared to death because I would nap during the day all the time. I wore mostly black and I read all True Life crime books. She was scared to death. Wow. We're still friends, but yeah. I was dark.
You mean she's still alive?
She's still alive. Right. I went to college in Hippieville. You had to fight it as you could, you know.
But did you enjoy the campy aspect of the TV show more than any other aspect of, like, Batman, like the newer Batmans?
No,
or...
I did. That's me. I loved that.
You like the campiness?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like the real Batman. I like the dark and the... I love Gotham, which is pretty dark, I think. I like that whole thing. It's more towards... Yeah, I find that much more enjoyable. It's just I have so many memories, happy memories tied around the 66, the TV show. And I do like camp. I mean...
How can you not?
Yeah.
It just makes you smile.
Yeah.
Tried to get my son to watch it. He was like, really, Mom?
I just remember I used to watch, that was my introduction to Batman as well, the TV show. And I didn't realize how over the course of Batman's history, that character had never been portrayed like that before. Been portrayed as kind of goofy in goofy situations with the tilted cameras. And whenever they showed a villain, they camera was tilted to show that everything was skewed and all that, and everything really looked like a beach blanket bingo movie, and which was popular at the time. But when I was watching it, and God, I'm not going to mention the year, but at the time, you know, we would go to a comic book store or whatever, and I would expect to see the Batman from the TV show in the comic, and it was different because in the era that I was picking up Batman comics, they were horror comics. I mean, it was Batman with like more of like the long pointy ears and more of a blue cape and like a lighter blue cape, but he would be getting into these horror storylines, and It's very different from the TV show, so it was a, it was kind of a jarring experience to pick up the comic book. You know, whoa, these demon babies are crawling, are crawling all over Batman. What the heck is going on here?
But when the show was airing, like first run, they started because it was so popular. They picked up, and the comics around that era were like that. Were the camp. Well, and then reading, you know, then when I started reading them, which was in 89, that's when Batman the movie came out, right? 89 or 90.
The Michael Keaton one, yes.
Right. So that's when I started reading it. And that's when they really did have, I mean, that was dark. I mean, looking at those movies now, they're not dark. But at the time, they just seemed so serious and intense. But the comics from that time, I mean, they really were. People got killed, and... And it was, I mean, it was dark, and he, you know, his, I mean, how could it be a happy thing if you think about it? His parents, he came, the reason he's Batman is because his parents died in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not a happy start.
Right.
But I got so wrapped up in Batman at that time. I read every short story I could get my hands on.
You're talking about late 80s.
Late 80s. Yeah. Like me and I think half the world got Batman fever.
Right.
Oh, the Bat-Toosie. Do you remember that from the... Did what? You ever... The Bat-Toosie? It's from the 66... Oh, my God. It's one of the episodes from the Batman, the TV show, the 66 one, where he, like, does this thing where he like, does... It's... Oh, did you ever see Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
I did.
But... Yeah, you know that thing where they're doing the dance and they do the thing with the two fingers on the eyes? That's the Bat-Toosie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a part big difference in the Lego Batman game, the Lego 3 Batman game, where you go and you get to pretend like you're in the movie or in the TV series and behind the cameras, and there's all the... So that's another fun, if you really like that. Wow. You can actually play as one of these characters in the TV nice. Show. It's quite cool.
And so many famous people were in that TV show. I mean, not only Cesar Romero, but Vincent Price played a bad guy, and Burgess Meredith, obviously, as a penguin. Yeah. And
they had, you know, the thing with the window opening and the people popping out.
Right, right.
I won't give it away, but I won't give away who it is, but they actually do it in the comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the window opens up and a famous face sticks out. It's really funny.
I do have fond memories of that show.
Well, and if you like this comic, the other thing is, if you go through some of the Smodcast, different, like Hollywood Babylon, and I think of Fat Man on Batman, they actually read the comic book, and it's Ralph who does impressions, so he does all these different voices. Kevin Smith does the bad guy, but the only impression he knows is Bane, so he does his Bane. and each of them is different. Like, they didn't do, you know, it's anyone knows the Green Hornet, his sidekick is Kato. They didn't do Kato's voice because they thought that might be racist, so they did like all these different, I think he did it as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And that's not...
Because so. Ralph Garman does a really good Adam West.
Oh yeah, he did Adam West for Batman, and he did Burt Ward as that, and he did Cesar Romero really well as also. But he did Sean Connery, I think, for Britt Reed, which is the Green Hornet.
Oh yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah, Ralph Garman is like the king. I wouldn't say he's the king of impressions, but he's really good at impressions. So Hollywood Babylon, that was like a staple podcast for me.
I love Hollywood Babylon, though there is cussing, so beware.
It is hardcore.
Yeah.
It's adults only.
Yeah, it's marked explicit for a reason.
Yes.
But it's still hysterically funny.
I've never heard it.
I know. So I'll have to
check it out.
Yeah, carve out. What? How long is it? Like
they're about an hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually do them live most Fridays at the Improv in Hollywood.
Oh, cool.
Check and it. It's very enthusiastic, and it's very profane.
Oh yeah.
and they also, Kevin Smith is a. I mean, most people know this, but Kevin Smith smokes pot all the time. I think he smokes actually right before he goes on the show. So he might actually be puffing as he walks up to the table. And Garman, and there's actually a part of the show where Garman will ask him, what strain is Kevin smoking? and he'll talk, I don't know the names of pot, but they actually have like stupid names, like, I don't know, like cotton candy or...
Like how they name roses.
Yeah.
Right.
And different strains of pot.
And so, yeah, so Kevin Smith is the happy stoner and Ralph Garman is the angry drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
And he gets drunker and drunker and angrier.
But it applies because they contributed to that comic, and that podcast was how I knew about the comic, because they were so excited when it first came out that they were like, we can't talk about it yet, but if you're a Batman fan, you know. And then they announced it and everyone's like, oh, mind blown. And so yeah, it was, and to hear them talk about how long it took for them to get to the point where they could actually print it was kind of awesome.
Yeah, and Ralph is a huge Batman fan. He has a whole room dedicated to, and it's Batman 66 that he loves, so he's got a whole room dedicated to fill with memorabilia from Batman 66.
Wow.
That's more really
to him. That's I got a cool bunch of Funko Pop dolls.
Of 66 Batman?
No. Supernatural.
All right. Cool.
You have some pretty exclusive Supernatural Funko dolls.
Right, Charlie.
She you came have from Charlie. Australia.
Awesome.
She came from Australia.
I saw my very first Supernatural episode this week.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. Oh, my gosh.
Specifically because Charlie was in the episode.
Oh, you just... Oh, no. See, no. You have to go back to the beginning. You can't start in the middle.
I had to. I'll go back.
She's been in several because you have to go back to the beginning.
That's fine, but I heard she was... I heard Felicia Day was in this particular episode, and I'm a fan of hers, and I said, I'm going to watch it now.
It was... Yeah, no, you have to watch it from the beginning so that it has the right amount of emotion for you. So that you tear up.
Yeah, I didn't tear up, but but I appreciate it. It was fun.
All right, so
I'm up. Actually, speaking about Felicia Day, that is the perfect segue for what I'm about to talk about, which is something that Katie, you talked about, I think, a couple episodes ago, and that's Geek & Sundry. Geek & Sundry... If you guys don't know what Geek & Sundry is...
I know from Katie.
Okay, so, well, just to say it, Geek & Sundry started out as a YouTube channel, which was a medium where Felicia Day and her friends and, like, Will Wheaton could do various web shows, like Tabletop, which is all about board games, Co-Optitude, which is where Felicia Day and her brother play, like, retro video games, and a number of others, all on one platform. So this week, Geek & Sundry started a Twitch stream. Twitch, I have to explain.
No, you don't. I know what it is.
Well, somebody is giving me the face of a question.
You have to explain.
All right. So Twitch is a platform essentially where you do streaming videos while you play a video game. So just to give you an example, if I had a Twitch stream, I would be playing something like Shadow of Mordor or Grand Theft Auto 5 or what's the one that you play? Dragon Age Inquisition.
Although that doesn't make the best Twitch stream.
Possibly not.
A lot of the best Twitch streams are, in fact, the games that we don't play, which is Smite and Legions and World of Warcraft and things like that.
Right, and a lot of indie games. But essentially, I would be playing a game, and then you, as a viewer, could log on to the Twitch stream and watch me play the game.
Live, right?
Live. Mm-hmm. And also, you can interact with the people who are playing the game with a chat window on one side of the screen. So you're seeing the video game, and you can interact with the person playing the game. So that every now and then, they'll look away from the game and look at the chat window to see if anybody has any comments or questions or, you know, things they want to bring up. So anyway, Geek & Sundry is starting their own channel. And in order to launch that, they did a 48-hour marathon stream in the middle of this week that we're recording this. And it was all to benefit the Lupus Foundation of America. What they were doing was they were raising funds to combat lupus. So it was a two-pronged effort. One, it was to introduce their programming that they were going to do, and it was also to raise money. When they started at 5 p.m., I think, on Tuesday of the week we're doing this. And Felicia Day started it, and she was on for most of the stream. So there were two things that they were trying to get done. One, they were trying to introduce a lot of the hosts of the shows that they're going to be doing every day, starting by the time this airs, they will already have started the streams. And then the second part was to raise money. Now, their first goal was $20,000, which I thought was ambitious.
Oh, I thought it was low. Because, well, and I'll tell you why I thought it was low. Because I tuned in, because I was at a hotel, I just tuned in to see what they were doing. And I saw that they were only like 2 hours in and they were almost halfway there. And I thought, I was like, that seems low to me. So.
Well, see, I started watching right when it started. And so I had this preconceived notion that how are they going to get to 20,000? That seems a lot to me. And then as the stream started, you started seeing people playing video games and people. And what they would do is every time somebody donated, somebody created like a short 5-second song, which was kind of goofy, and it ended with like children screaming in joy. And every time somebody donated a certain amount, every single one of them in the room would have to get up and dance. All right? Which was hilarious and entertaining. And, you know, you got to see guys dancing, attractive guys. You got to see attractive women dancing. You can't beat that. So, like I said, two-prong thing. They're raising money, and they're also introducing all the hosts of these shows. They beat the 20,000 goal in less than 18 hours. It was like 4 a.m. It was 4 a.m. when they crossed it. Because by the morning of the next morning, they were in the 22,000 area.
All I know is when I tuned in, they were halfway to 20,000. I was like, that's low. And when I checked back in the next day, their new goal was 50,000. And then like a couple hours later, their new goal was 100,000. And I was like, okay, right. Great. Keep going.
Yeah. So but what happened was every time Felicia Day left, the donations kind of started drying up because
sleep for Day.
Because the night crew would overtake the stream, and these were all the people who were working on it, who were the hosts of all the programs, and nobody knew them. And they have their own humor, and they're all entertaining in their own way, but you know, it's 2 a.m. on, you know, even on the West Coast, and you're gonna get less donation. So
she did a really good job when she would have a faint, because she has a lot of friends, and she would have them come on. And at one point when I was checking in, because I was traveling and working, I could only check in for a couple of minutes at a time. But at one point she had Zachary Levi on there, mm-hmm. and he was trying to move to the back because they had two levels of, they had a couch and then chairs in the back. And he was like, let me go sit in the back. And she was like, stay.
Right.
Stay right there.
Zach Levi was there. I mean, everybody knows him from Chuck. And he also, one of the cool things about Zachary Levi is that he does every year, and he says he's not sure if he's doing it this year, but at San Diego Comic-Con, he does this thing called Nerd HQ. It's an amazing charity effort where he invites, you know, like one year Nathan Fillion did something, and they basically just auction off a bunch of stuff for charity. And this was kind of like in the same vein.
Do you know what their personal connection to Lupus was?
It was Marissa Tancherone Wheaton, who is a producer of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's Will Wheaton's.
Whedon.
Whedon.
She's married to the brother of Joss Whedon, and she's a producer, and she's one of
Felicia's right. And friends. So she has lupus, and that was the personal connection with Felicia Day. That was why she chose the Lupus Foundation of America. And what they ended up doing is they would get representatives from the Lupus Foundation of America to talk about lupus. And talk about how it's really insidious, and there's no cure, and it's hard to detect at times, and it really is. I mean, it's an autoimmune deficiency disease, and it's where the body attacks itself. So it could attack any part of your body. It could attack your lungs. It could attack your stomach. It can attack your brain, and there is no way of stopping it, as far as we know. And so that's why they constantly were talking about this, and it was kind of cool. She invited a lot of famous people, Zachary Levi, Clark Gregg, several people from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and also other shows. Like, I think she had a reunion of the show that she produced herself, The Guild. And so she had everybody from that show.
She wrote The Guild.
She wrote, produced, created The Guild, and starred in it. And because Felicia Day is freaking awesome. And I watched far too much of that dang thing. But it was great. There's another aspect of it that I did want to mention. By the way, they did have a final goal of 150,000, and it didn't look like they were going to make it. But they kept on the air because they were close, and they finally hit 150,000. I think they actually got to 160,000 or more.
Wow.
And that brings me to my next point. And I follow her brother, Felicia Day's brother, Ryan Day, because each one of them have their separate Twitch streams. And he does video games. And the video game that he's been playing lately is Shadow of Mordor.
And I watched that playthrough on Jesse Cox's YouTube channel because I was never going to be a game I was going to play, but to listen to Jesse Cox scream when an orc attacked him was, like, majorly entertaining.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Jesse Cox is just awesome. He's amazing.
Very fun. If you have never seen, you have to go to his YouTube channel because I have had my husband watch things that Jesse Cox has done because my husband plays Far Cry 4, I think, is out. And I was like, you have to listen to Jesse Cox when he's debating whether or not to go into the water because he's afraid of the demon fish. Just his logic and his screams and when the bird attacks him, and it's just fun. So he's a really fun guy.
Yeah, and Ryan doesn't react the same. See, quite the same way.
Here's the thing about Ryan Day. I adore him, obviously. He seems like a very sweet person.
Yes.
When he does his Twitch streams, I tuned into part of one, but it's very laid back. He plays jazz music. You can't even basically hear the game.
It's his chill out day.
And he does like these, he talks about scotch and things I don't, like things that you would totally enjoy, but for me, I'm out. It's like, I'll go to Felicia's stream and I'll hang out there.
I mean, I could talk about Ryan Day a lot longer, but I wanted to mention why I'm kind of into him in particular, because I do watch his stream. There is there's something that he coined, a phrase that he coined. It actually is a word. And he started calling the people in the chat room humans. H-O-O-M-A-N-S. Humans. And the chat room loved that so much that they created a hashtag, Team Human. And Felicia and Ryan both loved that so much that they made T-shirts. And so all throughout the Twitch stream, they started referring to Team Human. And because what you would do is you would donate. And if you put hashtag Team Human, Felicia would just like jump up and like applaud and say, yay, go Team Human. And so Team Human is kind of like this small kind of community that grew up around those two Twitch channels between Felicia Day's and Ryan Day's channels. And it's a community of people who obviously love them, but respect everybody else, don't troll anyone, and almost have like a the most respectful community I've seen. And that's why I could proudly say I'm part of Team Human. Because, I mean, these people are just awesome. It's like going to a convention and having everybody look at you and say, I'm one of you and you're one of me. And we're all in this together and let's just make it a good experience. And so that's kind of what Team Human is. And the last thing I'll say is after the Twitch stream ended, I tweeted out a congratulations where I called out Felicia Day's handle and Ryan Day's handle, and I put go hashtag Team Human, and Ryan Day retweeted my comment.
Cool.
Katie saw that, and I saw that, and he was the first person to actually comment on it. So it was like, I posted it, boom, he retweeted it. I'm like, holy crap. A guy I watch on a Twitch stream just retweeted something about this, which you know, I told Katie I had a mini nerdgasm over that. Because it was...
the plane landed, and I just turned on Twitter, and I was like, do-do-do. And I saw what you posted. I was like, oh, that's cute. And I saw that it had been retweeted. So I just went, I was like, well, who retweeted it? And when I saw Ryan retweet it, so I sent him a little note. Hey, congratulations.
He was
it was... I'm so excited.
it was really cool. I mean, it's probably been that one message was favorited more than anything I think I'd ever had favorited. So it was really cool. It was a really nice event, and I can't wait to see the stuff that they have on the channel. Which, and they're going to have things. I'm not going to mention all the shows, but they're going to have board game stuff. They're going to have cosplay stuff. They have a comic book show called The Pole. Just so many things, role-playing games and stuff, so...
I'm just glad I'm not alone, because my love for Felicia Day goes back many years when she was doing the vlogs on Geek & Sundry, because when it first started, they didn't have Co-Optitude.
Right.
And then, of course, from Supernatural. Oh my god, I love Supernatural so much.
Did you watch her on Buffy?
I did not. I watched her on Eureka. Loved her on Eureka.
She hasn't been on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. though, right?
No.
Because I was trying to think back.
No, but she has actually an autobiography coming out this August. So she's going to go on a book tour, and she's probably going to do a bunch of podcasts. And I don't know the title of the book. Look it up yourself.
All right, so I work at a bookstore, and I do a lot of shopping while I'm working. The books cross my counter, and I'm like, ooh, that looks interesting. That looks good. And one woman came up, and she was buying a stack of the same book, 7 copies of one book. And she said, I said, so who are you buying these for? She says, so I'm a chemistry teacher at such and such high school, and I love this book so much, I'm buying it for all my teacher friends. Across the board, history, she says, doesn't matter what, there's something in this for everyone. I'm like, what is this book? So I'm looking at this book. It's called... many of you might have already heard of this book. It's called The Martian.
Yes.
It's by an author named Andy Weir. And the cover of this book, you know, it's obviously about Mars. So
it's not about a Martian, technically.
Well, yes, it is. Sort of. Sort of. Anyway.
Sort of. Not the traditional, like, War of the Worlds Martian.
Not like Marvin?
No.
No, there's no Marvin.
There's an astronaut
on the cover, and he's obviously on Mars. And so we haven't been to Mars. So this is science fiction we're dealing with. And she's a chemistry teacher, so I'm kind of getting an idea about what this might be. But I really had no idea. And I actually started buying this book for... It sells like crazy. It's on the bestseller list. You know, people are constantly buying this and telling me how much they love this book. And so, you know, I started buying it for people, not having read it myself. Because, you know, I can sell books I've never read. That's part of my job. And and so I decided, okay, I'm going to read this book. And it starts off like a science lesson. Basically, this guy, right off the bat, you find out that there's a third or fourth mission to Mars, and he's on that mission, and there is a tragic accident, and somehow he gets left, he's assumed dead, and he's left behind. The mission has to, you know, pull up and get out because of a big windstorm and 175 mile per hour windstorm. And so he's left behind, and he's injured, and he wakes up alone on Mars, and he's got to figure out how to stay alive. And so the next 60 pages, he's surviving, and he's doing all this science. It's like crazy, the science that's in here. And apparently, Andy Weir, he used to be a computer programmer, he started serializing this book. He's an indie author. He started serializing this book on his website. I think it's galactanet.com. And he just got such a huge following. The next thing you knew, he was contacted. He said that he was contacted by a publisher and a movie producer within a week of each other.
Oh, wow.
And he went from anonymity to, you know,
superstardom.
World fame in a very short amount. This happened in 2013. And so now this book is flying off the shelves. And I thought at first, is this whole thing going to be just him surviving on Mars? But the next thing I know, I'm at NASA, and then I'm at JPL, and then I'm the people who had left him and thought he was dead, they're finding out he's not. And then it's amazing. It's gripping. It's interesting. And so it is going to be a movie, and Ridley Scott is going to direct it.
Oh, of course. He was probably like the first one going, if there's a movie about science fiction and Mars, I better be on the short list.
And so, actually, this is where I was reading the bidding. This is how I knew there was going to be something other than just this man on Mars. Because I was looking at the cast, and it includes Kate Mara, Jessica Chastain, Kristen Wiig. Matt Damon is going to be the star. And Donald Glover, Chiwetel Ejiofor. This, like, amazing cast. And oh, Sean Bean. So he'll die, I'm sure. No.
Of course.
That is the joke.
Michael Pena, Jeff Daniels. It's
a mega, yeah, mega cast.
Mega cast. And I'm like, where are all these people? I'm so obviously I haven't finished the book. But
so they started shooting the movie?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be out this fall.
Oh my god, I didn't know
November 25th.
This book is right up your alley, Katie. This is, when I was reading this, I instantly wanted you to read this because you're the NASA person, and I'm like, this is, and it's science fiction.
Oh gosh, it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, and this guy, I swear, he's a cool guy. He's like 43, he's reclusive, and now he doesn't have to be a computer programmer anymore, but he was so meticulous about his facts. I mean, he is like, if anyone objects to any of the science in his book, he will have something to say about that, because he did tons of serious, hardcore research to make sure that his... And he comes up with some crazy scenarios that he has, you know, that this astronaut has to overcome, and... So it's pretty cool, and so it's coming out, and I can't wait to finish the book. I'll let you know what I think when I get to the end. As a matter of fact, I kind of want to be reading it right now.
It's a huge buzzworthy book.
Yeah,
that's great.
I haven't read it myself. It's on my list. I can't wait. So
yeah, I haven't read it either. I heard about the movie. That's how once you started describing it, because I read that the movie was coming out, and I knew it was Matt Damon, and I love Matt Damon.
I actually was curious, so I went to Andy Weir's website, galactinet.com, and he does a comic book. It's online, and he's so into his fans. He does these comics in Adobe Illustrator, and he made up a zip file. Everyone was asking for his art, and he made up a zip file. He says, here you go. Here's my art. One of his stories was so popular. A local community college did a one act of it. It's called The Egg. And he had it translated into like 20 languages. And so you can go to his website and read this story called The Egg. And it's really easy to read. You can read it in like 4 minutes. It's a short story. But yeah, he's a neat guy. And he's also really humble. When you read about him, I mean, he's taking this all in stride. I love how this happened to someone like him.
That's fantastic. Okay, well, thank you for listening. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe to our podcast. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to get your feedback on this week's episode. You can follow us by using the Twitter handle @WECPodcast. That's WEC with two Ks. Like us on our Facebook page by searching for the keyword WEC, or you can email us at WECPodcast@gmail.com. Bye for now.